I'm thankful that the Lord has blessed us once again to be here. Got a lot of scripture on our mind. We don't know where we're really going to start. But this week, as you know, I had a co-worker kill himself. Wasn't one I was close to. He worked days and I, of course, worked nights. And, you know, to be honest with you, I come in, I believe it was Thursday. Thursday in work, and someone said that Kevin had killed himself, and I just couldn't. I was in disbelief, and you know, I began to think about seeing him just the night that he had done that. You know, he was leaving work as I was coming in, and I looked across the parking lot at him, and he was just walking with his head hung low. And just looked like a man that was exhausted. And a lot of times, I guess, depression will wear you out. It has the same expression on your face a lot of times when someone is greatly depressed. And I can remember it coming to my mind, my goodness, it looks like you don't have a friend in the world. And supposedly sometime in the night, or that evening, or possibly early the next morning, he let the cat out of his house into the backyard, is what we've been told. He went into the back shed and he hung himself. And I thought, how tragic. Now, this was a man that I had spoke few words to. He was a quiet man. He worked in a department that I wasn't in normally. And I would go there occasionally when I didn't have work in my department. And he was a man that I wasn't a man of many words. He wouldn't talk to you about his personal life. But he was very helpful when it come to asking him, where's an end mill at, Kevin? Or where's this cutter for the bridge port, Kevin? And he would go to great lengths to tell you these things. I might have, in my 8 years, I guess, of being there, I might have talked a total of 20 minutes to him. But it yet broke my heart, and I thought that, and none of us at work knew that he was having problems to the point that he was contemplating taking his life. And I don't know, maybe that's just the way I am, but anytime any tragic situation like that happens, I look inwardly and I say, Daryl, was there something that you could have done? And I must confess that I could have handed him a card maybe that had our website on it. And you know, you're very leery today to do those things because so many people get offended. It can spread like a wildfire. But because of the death of Kevin, it showed Daryl Hensley how precious life is. And Friday night, I took a church card and I placed it on the bulletin board. And I thought maybe if it had been there, though he was a man that drove the church bus, was a man that had went, from what I've been told, over to Brazil on missionary trips, was a man that was in church, very active in church, had part in the Bible camp, I guess they had every year. Obviously, this man was not having his needs, his spiritual needs met. And it broke my heart to read there the obituary that he had done all these things for the Lord and that he was a member of this particular church. And I went to the funeral and that was spoken of as if it was some great thing. But I think it speaks volumes today of that very church. I think it would speak volumes today that if a member of our church went out and by his own actions says, I have not a reason to live, by his own actions to say that I'm through with life, I'm going to take my life in my own hands. I think that not only speaks of Kevin's situation, but it spoke of the situation of his church. I heard, and I didn't know that. I didn't know that he went to church, but someone said, well, I heard that he resigned his position
And you know how rumors go, and not to speak ill of the dead, but we want to preach tonight so that the people might know the truth and that the truth might make you free. And because of that, someone said, well, I even drove a bus. Another fellow said, yeah, he went to the church I used to go to. And I thought, how could a man that was so into church do something such as that? But then when I went to the funeral and I heard his pastor get up and begin to speak, I knew exactly how a man could do such as that, because as Jesus Christ said, and you can read it in Matthew, he said, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Today there's people making mistakes, and unfortunately there are those that are making mistakes that can be taken back to the breaking of our heart. We can read it over in Mark. It says it a little different. It says in Mark in the 12th chapter in the 24th verse, and Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? Then you can turn on over into the 27th verse. Just look down a little. And he said, he is not of God. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. In this world, so many of them today are erring greatly, not knowing the scripture. There's a doctrine of going through this land called believism. A man coined it. Easy believism. And I want to step back for a moment. For who would say, and the Bible says, all that you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I don't want to diminish that scripture, but the Bible also says that we are to rightly divide the word of truth. We don't want to err. We don't want to make a misjudgment. Because just as the Sadducees had erred, and I don't understand that neither, but they didn't believe in the resurrection. So surely they wouldn't have believed in Jesus. Why? Because the Bible teaches me that he is the resurrection and life. Any man that believeth in him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But now, we have been successful as a society. I'll tell you, I ain't heard a pack of lies like I've heard a Saturday in a long time. I'd have to go back 13 years to a fellow I worked with, and they called him Smoothie. But the man couldn't tell the truth, save his life. And I sat within the walls of what was supposed to be a church, and I heard a man say, the pastor of the dead man who had murdered himself, say, I know that God came and God came up, and he turned into heaven. Oh, look in the suit of the broken souls there. Well, heck, heaven there, not knowing the scripture. And there are some things that we can't take back. But let us not make the same mistake. Let us learn from the experiences in life. Oh, my. The free lamb. The pastor of that church. I'll not call him a preacher. He said, oh, I'm sure if Kevin, what is the one thing Kevin would have you to know? And he said, and I believe it was that Jesus loves you, that Jesus saves. But I begin to think about the situation. The Bible says, and you can read it if you would, in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Has everyone turned arms there. In the 15th verse, the Bible says, now listen closely, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Oh, you weren't talking about killing yourself. He simply said, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. And we'll read it again. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Well, that scripture come to my mind. And I thought, my God, my God. When John was right back down, it was a common knowledge that no murderer hath eternal life and body in hell. Aren't you glad for the truth today? Oh, but there's so many that are going to stand with our God. And they'll say, Lord, I did not know. But it's a it's an open book test. Alive, life itself is a test. And I pray to God that you might open up the scripture, that you might say, yes, I know what the Holy Scripture says. So be it. We'll want to call it one thing or another. Oh, suicide. Oh, that he killed himself. And I begin to think about it. You know, old Peter, the Bible rather perdition teaches me that Peter died of being crucified on the cause of Christ. I believe there are those, history says as well, that Paul, we know that John the Baptist was beheaded for the cause of Christ. That Paul lost his wife. But then I begin to think that there was Judas there. He's the one that the Bible said died at the end of a rope. And I'm on it without hope. Oh my God. And the same people stand as if they could preach God into heaven. But I want to declare to you today that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Let's read it all. Let's rally the Bible, the word of truth. Do you disagree in principle, or do you agree in principle, but just disagree in the degree of it? I knew I could see. I looked around behind the crowd. There were some people that couldn't believe what they was hearing, and it weren't because that they disagreed in principle, but they disagreed to the degree of that. I don't want to be guilty of that today. I can truly say I disagree in principle totally that anyone, the Bible also says, and we can go ahead and we can read it if you will over in Revelation, in the 21st chapter, the 6th verse, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is a thirst the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall, now listen, he that overcometh shall inherit heard all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderer, the whoremonger, the sorcerer, the idolater, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I heard a man stand behind the bullpen, and he said, I know, I'll say a see Kevin again. I'm a Daryl. Daryl said his goodbyes to Kevin Saturday as I looked into his face. And as many a man there work, I said, why have you had a problem? Oh, why didn't he talk to one of us? If he had a problem, why didn't he talk to Jesus? But I'll have to tell you, God is my witness, I'll not see Kevin again. But I'll have him afraid that the man, if he spoke any truth at all, those were the words. Because the Bible says, and all liars shall be cast in. I stand on the word of truth. The word of truth will set you free. The Bible teaches me. He said, I know that he's in heaven, for the Bible says so. And I begin to declare in my mind what scripture he must be thinking about. I know that he thought that Kevin was a believer, because that he had believed in the past that he was all right. But sometimes, or well, all of the time, our actions speak what we believe in. I can tell you I believe in anything, but you watch my life and the lives around, the life around those that live around you. That's what'll tell you what they believe. The Bible says, if you want to turn there, I believe it's Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, the 5th verse. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and listen, and lean not unto thine own understanding. When we can't understand, as we heard Saturday, we can't understand why things happen as they are. We must not believe, as the preacher said, as he pointed to his head, with our mind, but we must believe with our heart. And once again, there's been a distinction, a separation made, just as I spoke about that easy believism. All you gotta do is believe in Jesus Christ. But the devil and all his children, all of his prophets, all of his preachers have been very successful in the minds of the lost to redefine just who Jesus is. Yes, you must believe in Jesus Christ, the true Christ, the Word, and as well, we must believe with all of our heart. What did it say? We'll read it again. It says, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Not to trust your heart, but to trust the Lord with all thy heart. We can say there's a very little difference there. But the Bible teaches me, in Jeremiah it says, that the heart, we can go ahead, if you will, and turn there as well. Jeremiah the 17th chapter, in the 9th verse, for the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Not really going to trust in his heart. He's going to trust in the Lord with all of his heart. And there's a difference. I know the Bible as well. We can go ahead. I don't allow me to talk to that man. But the Bible said that there are those that have believed a lie and are damned. Damned to hell. I don't know a man that could stand and so persuasively of our sin, the lies that he said, if he could ever be reached. We already know that the Bible says that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And now that we must trust the Lord, let's go ahead. We can read it. In Mark, it says in the 12th verse, we're going back to Mark, the 12th verse. or the 12th chapter rather, and in the 30th verse it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all of thy mind, and with all of thy strength." This is the first commandment. You know, there are those say you don't want to trust him, up here in your mind. I guess if maybe that's what old Kevin done, if he done anything. He was a very religious man, but he hadn't trusted in the Lord. He hadn't loved the Lord. You say, "Darrell, you're judging him." The Bible says, "By our works we shall be known." The Bible says as well, "By our works we shall be judged." Judge no one. Kevin, I believe it was Wednesday night, or Tuesday night maybe. Kevin passed judgment that night. He didn't love the Lord with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't know how he done it, but the man took his life, saying that it life itself ain't worth living anymore. Well, my Bible teaches me that a Christian has every reason to live. And though the Christian don't fear death, he ain't going to go kill himself. You can say, "Well, Darrell, let's look at the Bible. Oh, you know, in the Bible, do you know of one instead where a man committed suicide and it spoke about him being in heaven? There's not a place, no, not one. The only one I could ever think about that would come close is when old Samson told the little lad, bring me to the pillars for that great house so that I might be able to lean against them." And old Samson, when he stood before his enemies, the one, because of his disobedience, did it not bring him where he was at? He said, "Oh my God, about you avenge me of my enemies." A blind man, a man that God restored his strength, and there wasn't in his heart, no, not at one time, he didn't say, "Lord, look at me, I ain't fit to live." But he said, "God, avenge me of mine enemies." And the Lord brought the house down upon him and killed in his death. Said, destroyed more Philistines than he had ever done in his life. And that was saying something. If you know the story of Samson, but I want to tell you, no man that's killed himself can compare their life to Samson. Why? Because they didn't die on the battlefield fighting for the Lord. They died because they couldn't face another day, because they had not trusted in the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Oh God, I wish people could see and quit making the separation, as it were. And that's what the preacher was wanting them to do. Don't try to reason with your mind. Trust in your heart. But the Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked. We've got to trust in God's Word. Who is the Son of God? Who is Jesus Christ? I have no knowledge of who Jesus is, save but for the Word. You say, "Darrell, that's not true. Well, you were just a little kid before you could even read. You knew who Jesus Christ was." But Darrell, I know. And you went to church and you heard the preached word. There it is. I heard the preached word. Oh, I'm so glad I did. I'm sick and tired of these snake-bellied, backboneless preachers who are leading the world away because they're afraid they might offend. Oh, what do you think they'll do? They're going to get a little bending. Oh, in the Bible, it tells me that great judgment day those standing before the Lord, and they say, well, didn't we preach thy holy word? Didn't we pray, cast out devils in thy name? And the Bible says, the Lord will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. He once again proves the old saying that a liar can tell the truth, but an honest man can't tell a lie. And there's people that sit underneath a man preacher and say he's a good man, he's honest, and the Lord loves the congregation enough that he'll reveal right to them what they've got there. Because, see, why do men lie? You know, it would do well for the world. They don't teach logic in school anymore. They don't teach how the man can decide or determine what's a fallacy or not. And you know why? Because, one thing, public school wouldn't teach it. Because that's too close to being religious. Because we would might cast judgment on somebody. But the Lord expects each and every one of us to logically to take. You know, that's why we've got politicians today that can get with one group and they can say one thing and then go to another group and say the very opposite thing. And then when the election comes around, the media is so successful at just having play back what he said that they want the world to hear. But you couldn't get away with that several years ago. They tell you, wait a minute. What are you saying? How can you say that you believe in life, but that you support abortion? The two can't come together. Well, guess what? That same church that we were sitting in had a woman. She's a member there. And once again, you say, how can it be? It's because they know not the truth. She said, she ran for political office. And she said, I'm a Democrat, but I'm pro-life. And I thought to myself, that's kind of like saying back during the Civil War that you was a Democrat and you was for freeing the slaves. You know, it just weren't so. Each and every one of us, why would anybody want to be a Philip? You said, Dad, you're getting on politics. No, I'm not. I'm getting on holy living and backing your words up with your life. You can't talk out of the corner of your mouth 1 minute and talk out of the corner of your mouth the next and turn your head. When you stand before God, you're looking straight in the face. There won't be no talking out of the corner of your mouth. He'll see it for who you are and not what you say. That's why tears filled my eyes when I was there at that funeral. The song of all songs to be sung was, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. You know, I listened to that, and I thought, my, what a song. What a song to be sung at the funeral of a man that was supposed to had a personal experience with the Lord and killed himself. I wonder if Kevin thought he lived. But you know, we can put our old, we can once again not use logic, and we can just hear the words that we want to hear. Because this one lives. Because of this man that killed himself lives, I can face tomorrow. But you know, that ain't the words of the song. The words of the song are speaking about Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that because Jesus Christ lives, I can face tomorrow.
Right.
Because he lives, all fear is gone.
Right.
Not only fear of death, bless your heart, but the fear of life itself.
Right. Amen.
You know, and that's what disturbed me more than anything.
You know, the people that left there, it was never mentioned what happened normally in a situation such as that. But you know, there was volumes to be learned in this tragedy. I've already mentioned that it was revealed to the congregation there, and I kind of have an idea they already knew it, and that they had a snake behind the pulpit. It not only was revealed to them, but it was revealed to everybody that was sitting there. And he could have eloquently talked until he persuaded some. But there's one he ain't persuaded yet, nor will he ever. And that's the Lord. Now, the Lord came so that we might have eternal life. He came to save us from our sin. He came to save us. He didn't come to save the one that committed suicide. Listen to me. He came to save the one that was contemplating it. He came to save the one that had no reason to live. But Jesus Christ, in His infinite wisdom, because He is who He is, He said that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in Him. I'm going to take God's word over it anytime, over any preacher. I don't care how many schools of theology he's went to. I don't care how big his congregation is. I don't care how many letters of the alphabet he has behind his name. I'll take God's word over him every time. The Bible says, but rightly divide the word of truth. But what do we want to do? The Bible says, in the last days, they'll be heaping upon themselves teachers having an itch in ear. I know that there was members there according to their face. You know, the Bible says that the face is a light to the soul. And because of the seeing them, I see that they were in disagreement. But once again, they agreed with the principle of it. They just didn't agree with the degree of it. Are you guilty of that tonight, church? Have you agreed with the principle? Do you think that the Lord will make an exception for this one or that one? But because it says no murder hath eternal life, I can't kill myself, but I can go ahead and live life and hate my brother. The Bible says he that hateth his brother is a murderer. That breaks my heart. I've got a lot of kinfolk that are so full of hatred, though they've never shed the blood of any man when they stand before God, because they've got sin unrepented of. He's going to say, depart from me, I know you not. You are a murderer. So today I don't want to be weighed in the balances and found wanting. I don't want to tell you tonight and leave you with this message that you can't kill yourself. But I want to leave you with the words of truth. Just as the man said, he said, what would heaven have you know? I had come to my mind that there is a hell. There is a hell. I don't know. I could be wrong. But I think that's probably in the mind of every man that's ever entered into that mouth. The Bible says it has enlarged itself. I wonder how many hundred years, friend, that the head is all that a man can think about. There is a hell. There is a hell. They said they believed in Jesus. Can't kill himself because he didn't believe in hell. Because if he had, he wouldn't have done what he did. He didn't believe it. No doubt. That's one thing I didn't hear. The whole service. Heaven, heaven. God's carried him there. He's at the throne of God. He's at the gates. And I never heard it one time that there is a hell. I'm thankful I don't serve the God of heaven. I serve the Lord God Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that my Jesus intercedes on my behalf, and that I don't have to pray to anyone or listen to any lie.